Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. With me, for a third week in a row. This
Disgusting.
Has been such a trip.
I can't get rid of us.
I don't want you guys to leave. It's actually the thing.
Oh, it's been really fun. I also want free chips every week.
That's right. We like the chips. My co-host in residency, Jaya Sexton and Matt Lubchansky. Hi, hi.
Hello.
Very excited to have you guys. You guys, we have a really cool episode today.
I'm very excited.
I'm really excited about it.
I am really excited because this is one of those topics that will not be relevant to the vast majority of the audience listening to this, but it's really important to do.
Yeah.
And I specifically wanted to do it when you guys were here because I knew that you would be sensitive to the topic and that you would know a lot about the right language to use for it. And I just think that these kinds of things and this kind of work that I get to do is among like the best part of the job that I get to do.
Yeah.
So today, you guys, we are going to be talking about cleaning chest binders and protecting your clothing after top surgery. So these are going to be issues that have to do with transgenderism and people who identify as non-binary or non-gender conforming. I think probably most people listening to this show probably have some awareness of the topic. It's obviously, it's a pretty hot topic in the world right now, but it probably also will be new for a lot of people. And as I said, there will be things here that won't apply probably to most of your life, but you can extrapolate some of the cleaning advice off into other things that you may face in your life. Like one of the questions we're going to tackle is the subject of what you do when you get ointment from scars on clothing.
Yeah.
And that can happen for all kinds of reasons.
It can
happen because you got a tattoo. It could happen because you had, you know, any kind of surgery. You had maybe a big cut that you have to put ointment on. So I hope that even if the specific topic isn't relevant to you in your life, you'll stick around. You'll learn some things not only about cleaning, but also just about thing that is real for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And we're really, really
also, you know, it's not like I feel like most of the questions are that relevant, except for the drill dough one.
We're all going to be in a
scenario where someone's getting drill doughed and we have to deal with the stains.
Happens to the best of us.
Yep. Universal problem.
Indeed. Before we get into today's episode, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show and listen to Chip Chat by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. Today's Chip Chat is going to be a very, very special episode.
A very, very special
episode. The greatest Chip Chat in the world. What it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
So we actually have two separate topics. We're going to do a follow-up on the last Chip Chat we did when we were tasting the Canada chips, the pickle chips and the ketchup chips. I have brought in the American versions of the same, so that we can do a full international comparison of those. And then we are going to have an Italian abbondanza because
it's the real manja down.
Yep.
Because the three of us have all seen the movie Gotti, and we have a lot to say
film
about it.
Film
of all time.
Film of the year.
And so we figured we would do a little Italian theme in honor of Gotti.
You'll never see another film.
And I'm going to try my first combo on the air.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Of my entire life.
Huge,
I've never had a combo.
Episode.
Alrighty. Which one of you wants to read the first question?
I will.
Okay. Jaya's going to read the first question from Sophie.
Okay. Sophie writes, Hi, Jolie. I saw you mention that you would devote an episode to the cleaning of bras, which made me think about my own personal breast-based cleaning bugbear, binders. I'm non-binary and was assigned female at birth. Every day, I wear some form of chest-binding undershirt. These are tight compression garments mostly made of nylon, spandex, and polyester. Putting them in the washing machine causes them to quickly lose a lot of their elasticity, as I have learned to my peril. Because of their proximity to your body, they get pretty grimy, especially during the summer. Hand washing with soap has thus far either been too harsh or too gentle for it. Oh, that's such a hard conundrum. And regardless of what I do, it doesn't seem to lose its dingy gray color. Can I use bleach on it? How often can/should I be watching it?
Alrighty.
Oh my God, that's so hard.
I've got answers.
That's good.
yeah, and actually, you know, I'll say this is actually a cool topic for me because I like that Sophie led with a comparison to bras, but actually it's important for me in this episode to not make the comparison to bras because these garments have meaning beyond just the function.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think comparing them to a bra keeps it in a female foundational garment sphere that it shouldn't be in, that we should treat it very separately as its own thing. And so
yeah.
As I was like doing my research through the show and working through how I wanted to talk about this, one thing that I was really, really clear on in my own head was that I didn't want to compare it to bras.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to not do that, but I'm going to tell you about that choice because I also think that's part of what's fascinating about this topic in this episode.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that we can bring to it. So let me tell you a couple of things about elastic and how it functions, because that's really fundamentally the fiber that we're talking about protecting when we talk about binders, that they can be made of, they're primarily made of elastic, but they also obviously, as Sophie explained, have some cotton poly elements to them. They're all different forms of binders too, styles that they come in. Some are sort of like half tank top style. Some are look just like a big ace bandage that you wrap around. Some are sort of full tank top styles. There are shirts mm-hmm. that actually just have binders built right into them. So they're all different fibers. But really, the key fiber that we're talking about here is elastic. And there are a couple things you need to know about elastic and keeping it elastic, basically, not having it not having it break down. The first thing is that elastic needs to rest. So ideally, you would have at least 2 to 3 binders in your wardrobe that you can rotate so that you are not wearing any single binder more than one day in a row, because the heat from your body will start to compromise the elastic, which brings us to the next thing that elastic does not like. Elastic does not like heat. Elastic does not like heat. Elastic doesn't like the heat from your body. It doesn't like heat from hot water in a washing machine. It definitely does not like the heat of a dryer.
Man, bad news for all of my elastic clothing.
I will say the one thing I'm much more comfortable comparing binders to is athletic clothing, like compression pants.
Yeah.
That is actually, to me, like a much more comfortable comparison. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's the compression pants are very non-gendered.
Yeah. So what does heat do to elastic?
It basically breaks it down. Okay. It breaks it down over time. And so you want to think about that not only in terms of how you're laundering it, but as I said, in terms of how you're actually wearing it, because your body is hot.
Thank you.
It's like your body is a wonderland.
That's true. That's the true message of the episode.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing to say about binders, and actually I have to say I was a little bit surprised in my research. I thought that the price range of binders was going to be much, much higher than it actually is. But it's not cheap. So generally speaking, the price range that you'll find for binders is about $30 to $75. That's kind of the average. Obviously, there are some that are way, 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 way more expensive. But that's just sort of your general ballpark price range.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I want to reiterate this sort of, you ideally in your binder wardrobe want to have at least 2 to 3 that you can rotate through. And what that is going to allow you to do is that is going to allow you to rotate them so they don't get overly tired from your body heat.
But, so tired from my hot body.
A lot of people run into that.
Yeah. I mean, I know I'm constantly exhausted from my hot body. But it's also going to help you come wash day. So Sophie wanted to know how often to wash. And there's this, the rule of thumb is every 3 to 6 wears you want to wash them. Now, in
so
the...
Much.
Well, but we're gonna break it down because we're gonna do a little math here.
Okay.
So obviously in the summertime when it is very hot and your body is much hotter and much sweatier, which means that your binder is going to get grimier by dint of you sweating into it, you're gonna wanna be more on the every 3 wears side of the spectrum. In the winter when it's colder, you can probably push it up to the every 6 wears. If you've got 3 binders in your wardrobe and you have to wash and you're going to wash them, let's say we're in summer right now, so let's say every 3 wears. You're talking about every week and a half doing a load of your binders. So that's not so bad.
That's not so bad.
It's not so bad. It's not.
It's not.
Jai is not convinced. It's not so bad. It's not so bad. And of course, the more that you have, so if you have more than 3, say you have 5, the longer stretch you can get between washing them. Now, one other reason to have more than 3, say, is that for a lot of people, being without a binder, even for a short period of time while you're laundering it, is uncomfortable and something that you don't want to do. So if you've got one that you can be wearing on wash day, mm-hmm. while you're washing the other 4, that just helps to add to the rotation. And the other thing is, you know, with binders, you probably want a few different options, both in terms of style and of color. You know, if you wear a lot of black, you probably want more neutral or dark colored ones, but you probably want to have one, you know, light colored one for when you wear white t-shirts, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So and again, when you talk about the styles, there are some times when you might want, you know, a short midriff style one versus a full length tank top style one versus the bandeau style ones. So as you're thinking about your binder wardrobe, those are sort of the things that you can look for to help you build up your wardrobe so that then come wash day, you've got options and you don't have to be washing, you know, once every week.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So let's talk about the actual how to wash. One other thing that I thought was really, really interesting and I hope will be helpful. There are pre-owned binders that are available through a website called Gender Gear. They have a recycling program.
Oh.
And they offer binders for $5. You know, cost is always an issue when you're talking about, you know, any kind of access to any foundational garments, really. And so I wanted to mention that service is available for people who, you know, can't afford to buy, you know, three or four $30 binders.
Yeah.
That's pretty expensive for like a sometimes medically necessary thing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's nice for people to know that there are options out there. Also, if you are a person who has binders that maybe you've replaced with ones that you like more, listen to the washing instructions and consider donating to this program too. So, you know, We're a full service charitable organization here at Epic Keepers in the podcast. Okay, so the actual washing part of it. You guys are not going to be surprised by any of the things I'm about to say to you. Hand washing is best. Hand washing is best. As Sophie found, the machine has been a little bit too aggressive for their binders. I should say also that Sophie noted that they use they, them pronouns in the note. And so that's good too to know about. So yes, hand washing is best. Gentle detergents are always great. There's one detergent that I really love for delicates called Soak Wash. The reason that I love it so much is that it's a no rinse detergent.
Oh my God.
I don't know how it works. It's magic. But
where does it go?
I don't know.
Into the clothing?
White Walkers. The answer beyond the wall.
You sweat it back in.
You sweat. Your clothes just become heavier and heavier over time as they absorb more of the detergent.
The nice thing about that is that not only does it cut down on an actual step of hand washing, which is the rinse rinsing step. But also, it makes for a gentler hand washing experience because you're cutting out an agitation step in the rinsing.
Oh.
So I really like that. I will also say that it is the pick of the wire cutter for their delicates detergent. So it also comes with the wire cutter seal of approval in their testing. They really loved it. So that's one that I really love. But Sophie mentioned that they are having a real problem with things just still being dingy. And I wish I knew what detergents were too harsh for their binder, but I don't. So I'm not going to guess and like disparage any detergents because I actually truly kind of have no idea. But I would say try switching to Tide Ultra Stain Release, which is also one of the wire cutter picks for best regular detergent. That stuff is really, really, really good. It is legit. Like, it's just a legit laundry detergent. It really is better than other laundry detergents. I've used it to get crazy stains out of stuff. Like, it really is good. So I would say
it's
switch.
A cool Tide jacket you've got on.
Yeah.
Tide hat.
Thank you. Oh my God. I have a crazy story about Tide hats, actually. It's a bonus episode story for sure, though.
Ooh.
Yes, my smutty past.
How crazy were we getting with Tide hats?
Crazy. I have a smutty Jolie story about a guy in a Tide hat. Yes.
I love smutty Jolie stories.
Smutty Jolie stories are always fun. I would try switching to that for your hand washing. I think what Sophie needs to do here is I think Sophie needs a long soak. I think their binder just has to go in cool water with, don't overdo. More detergent is not going to make this thing more clean. It's the exposure. It's not, Matt.
Okay. It seems like it should. Detergent equals clean.
I know.
I know it seems like it,
but it's not. So the analogy that I like to make is if you went into a restaurant and a server put down an empty glass in front of you that had visible soap suds on it, you would say, this glass is not clean.
That's true.
Yes. See? So the same thing is true of your clothes. If there are soap suds in it, it's not clean.
This glass is too clean.
You've over-cleaned
my glass.
Sir.
But the thing is that it's not good for the fibers to have lingering soap, and it's also not good for your skin. That is actually the when people say I'm quote-unquote allergic to laundry detergent, no, they're not. They're using too much of it. It's left behind in the clothes, and the soap residue is causing irritation, not the detergent itself. So anyway, that's a whole – we'll talk about that in laundry school. Maybe I'll just keep you guys for good, and laundry school we can revisit the subject.
Yeah.
Okay, so hand washing is going to be best. I would try that Tide Ultra Stain Release, and what I would do, I would just give it a good long soak. I would let the binder hang around in the wash water for like 2 hours overnight. That is going to help. That's going to be the thing that helps the dinge.
And then Jolie gets a picture of that nasty water.
Ding, 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 ding. Yay.
Nuts for that water.
Yay. So this week for Wash Water Wednesday, I had my first ever photo of protest water. And I was so excited, and that one got so many likes. And
wait,
I was like, this
how
is
so
great.
Protest water?
It was someone who had been at the ICE protest 2 weeks ago in D.C., the families.
Mm-hmm.
And she got arrested.
Oh.
And,
oh my God.
The whole jam. And after she got out and like got back to her hotel, she like hand washed her sweaty, gross clothes and sent me the wash water and was very proud. I mean, she was very proud to share this with me, and I was very proud. And it was nice to share and to see the huge response that it got from people.
Yeah.
Like we're doing this thing. This is great. And then we remember to send Jolie gross wash water. this is Jolie. Welcome to the resistance. So yeah, I think that's really the jam. Now I have a couple other tips I want to give, and this is generally speaking for hand washing things, but I think I want to highlight it with binders again because I want to go back to that thing that I said at the top of this question that the wearing of a binder is an act that is really important in a way that the wearing of of many other garments is not.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting your binder clean and dry as fast as possible is important so you can get that back on.
Yeah.
Because binders make people feel on the outside the way they feel on the inside. And you don't want to take that away, that service away from them, you mm-hmm. know? And so, like, during the washing process.
It's a fundamental part of their identity.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's a very good way of putting it. That's also kind of why I wanted you guys to. Like, they have good language for these topics. I mean, could you imagine if I was doing this with one of my sports writers?
Oh, my God.
You know what? I mean, I just wouldn't have. And that's the thing. I wouldn't have done this episode with one of my sports writers. Like, just would not have. So there are these towels that are ultra, ultra absorbent that are marketed as hair towels.
Oh, you probably have one of those. Yeah, right? Yeah, the sort of like microfiber mm-hmm. thing.
And they're really thin and they are very, very absorbent. And so what I'm going to suggest for the drying, so after you've rinsed and you've kind of pressed out the water, roll the binder up in one of those super absorbent towels because it's going to help to extrude even more water than a regular towel, which will speed up the drying time. So now I want to say two other things as we're talking about the rolling, and I'm doing the rolling, you guys. So the Jolie charades are happening. Also, cameras are happening.
Ooh.
Yeah. So get excited. Oh, nice. That. So finally, you guys will get to see. I'll fill you guys all in when we finally get it rolling. But like, you'll finally get to see the Jolie charades.
Yes.
Which will be really, really good. I'm excited about it. Don't wring the binder. So wringing something, twisting the fiber. I'm twisting. Yeah, I'm twisting. I'm like giving like an air hand job. Kind of. Right? Yeah. Is that what that uh-huh. looks like? Yes. Which is actually enjoying. What most of the Jolie charades really look like. They just look like hand jobs.
Various types of hand jobs.
It's the hand job Olympics over here. love a handy.
wow.
Do not. Ooh, no one loves a handy. The wringing will cause stress on the fibers, and especially when we talk about, and that's true of any fibers, but it's especially true when we talk about elastic, because elastic is frisky, and it likes to be handled gently. So don't wring it. Just push down to do the initial, the pumping CPR motion that I'm sort of always talking about, to push out the initial batch of water, then roll it at, like a jelly roll in the towel, and then lay it flat to dry. Now, one thing, you can lay it flat on a towel, but you'll have to flip it so that both sides get dry. If you have a drying rack, that will speed up the drying time. You can lay it flat. Don't hang it on the drying rack because
it'll stretch out.
Exactly. The weight of the water and the fabric will stretch it out, and obviously you don't want that. So lay it flat, but that will help speed up drying time because there'll be air circulation on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's your hand washing instruction. Now, I do want to say one other thing before we move on to if you do want a machine wash, because it's an option. I do want to say, Sophie asked about using bleach. No, absolutely never, 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 ever, ever, ever use bleach on anything elastic. Never, no, never bleach. Never bleach on elastic. So don't do that. It's not good for it. If the Tide Ultra Stain Release isn't doing the trick in terms of the dinge, OxyClean. Use an oxygen bleach, but never use a chlorine bleach on anything elastic. One other thing probably that, and you know, there's a difference between something that's gone super dingy that you have to triage back up with like the long soak and the oxy and all of that stuff. I think if you do get onto a routine laundering schedule for these, you should not have the dinge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you are washing every 3 to 6 wears, that should be enough to keep the dinge at bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So machine washing instruction. Again, you guys have heard me say this 10,000 times. It is definitely an option. Here are the things you want to know if you're going to machine wash a binder. One, great idea to put it into one of those mesh wash bags.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wash it with even in the mesh wash bag. Don't wash the binder in the same load as very heavy items like jeans, like hoodies, like towels. Wash it with lighter weight fabrics. So basically, it's like a big old like mud wrestling pit going on in with your clothes in the washing machine. They're just wrestling in there. And so if you want to consider your weight class, essentially. So featherweight items should go in with your binder. Save the heavyweights for their own load. Cold water, delicate cycle. That is really going to help if you use a delicate cycle. The delicate cycle is a much slower cycle, meaning the drum itself moves slower. And the slower it moves, the less agitation your garments are going to be exposed to. So that's going to help. You have to air dry. I'm sorry. You cannot put it in the dryer. You just cannot. Sorry, no dryer. You got to air dry. So go back to that same, either lay it flat on a rack or on a towel. The one benefit that the machine wash has, other than it's easier than the hand wash, is that the spin cycle at the end will extrude so much water that the binder will come out really only just damp. Mm-hmm. And so it will dry faster. So that's something to consider. One last thing, and this actually may be the issue that Sophie was having with their machine. If you have a top loader with a center agitator, don't wash the binder in there. The fins on the center agitator are like paddles on your clothes. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that was what their problem was with machine washing, that was why the binders were getting so mangled.
Ah.
Hmm. Yeah. So that's the binder thing.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. And I have to say, I was actually really excited to do this topic for a lot of reasons. One is that I actually do get quite a lot of questions about this.
Yeah.
This is not the first time I've gotten this question by any stretch. And so I was like, more than one person asked it.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
And I feel like especially in the summer now, because not necessarily to compare it to bras, but like as much as you get under boob sweat in a bra, it's like even more if you have a much more like a less breathable fabric that is like much more designed for compression in that way. Like you're sweating up a storm in there.
Absolutely.
And it's also in contact with the top ass.
With the top ass.
I was waiting for the top ass.
I just was thinking about, we were talking about sweat, and my mind goes to
top ass.
The top ass. All right, well, on that top assy note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Matt Jaya and I will be right back. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Jaya Saxena and Matt Lipchansky.
Hello.
Hello. Actually, you want to just say your thing right now?
Oh, yeah, I just got a quick thing.
Matt's got just a little shill.
A little quick thing to plug while I'm here. So we're recording this today, and this episode will be up...
Tuesday...
this coming
July
17th or the next one? This coming Tuesday?
This coming Tuesday.
Okay, so this is the same day, today, Tuesday, dear listener. the website I work for, The Nib, is launching a print publication on Kickstarter.
Yay!
And it's a print quarterly and membership program, and it's going to be nonfiction comics and satire and memoir, and it's going to be very, very good, and we need money and subscribers for it to happen. Because we pay artists and it's going to be amazing. But anyways, go to thenib.com, thenib.com, and check it out because it's going to be amazing.
Yes, it is going to be amazing. It is going to be amazing. I have talented and amazing friends.
Yay.
Everyone go check that out on The Nib and support Matt and the whole team at The Nib and all the really like great and cool fun work they do. Yeah, do that.
Thank you.
Do that.
Do it.
All right.
Please.
You got to do something now.
I gotta read the thing. Okay.
Oh, you.
Oh, no.
You thought you could just plug that for nothing?
I was actually just gonna leave. Yeah.
You're gonna get to say the word nipple like 69 times.
Hell yeah!
All right. Question from Izzy.
Top ass. No.
Okay. Hey, Jolie. First time listener. Oh, sorry. Nope. Bye. Sorry. Izzy writes, "Hey, Jolie, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm a trans person, and I recently had gender-affirming top surgery. Wahoo.
Not to get too..."
Yeah. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Izzy.
That is a really, really big move.
That's wonderful.
And that's exciting, and we're excited for you, Izzy.
Not to get too gory, but part of my healing involves...
What's
happening?
Get gory.
Part of my healing involves keeping my nipple grafts and incisions slathered in Vaseline throughout the day. A bunch of my shirts now have nipple-shaped grease marks despite the 3 trips through the washer in a row. And boy, oh boy, drying the eye to my chest is the last thing I want at the moment. Any tips to get Vaseline off shirt nips? Bonus points if there's anything I can do to help throughout the day to alleviate the severity of staining, because at this point, some staining is inevitable. Thanks.
Yeah.
It's like I didn't want to laugh because obviously this is a very serious question and Izzy doesn't want to draw attention, but I'm just... Nipple-shaped grease stains is like a beautiful phrase.
It really is. I know.
Move over, top ass. Yeah. Here comes nipple-shaped grease stains.
I know. The thing is, I love this question because, first of all, it is very real. Izzy clearly knows that, like, this is the kind of question you can come to Jolie Care about and Jolie and her guests are going to be respectful and helpful in answer, but also we're going to be fun. And we can join you in saying like nipple shaped grease stain is like a funny turn of phrase.
It's
great. But I'm really, really happy for Izzy that they got to have this surgery and feeling so good about it. And I definitely do have help. So ointment stains. And now let me also reiterate, because I know I said this at the top of the episode, but let me reiterate, this also applies to if you've gotten a tattoo, if you've had any kind of surgery, if you've had a wound that you have to keep covered with ointment. Like I had a guest, a couple of months ago, Kate Dries was here, and on the bonus episode, she was asking me about she had gotten some scar like treatments done, mm-hmm. and as part of the healing, she had to keep it covered in Vaseline, and she was like, "Julie, it's over all over everything. What do I do?" And I was like, "Oh, I got help for you, girl. Like, no problem at all." So this actually has sort of implications beyond just this question for people. So hopefully, this will be helpful for people, even if you didn't just get top surgery. Okay, so ointment stains or grease stains? Grease stains, yes. So we want to use our go-to for grease stains, Lestoil, or as we now call it, Lubrisol. Pine Sol is another one. Pine Sol is easier to find than Lestoil. Lestoil is made by the Clorox company, and it's kind of a deprecated product of theirs. They still make it, but they don't really market it, and it's not distributed as widely as Pine Sol. Mm-hmm. I just happen to be brand loyal to it for like weird reasons. It doesn't have to do with it being better or worse. It's just a weird brand loyalty thing on my part.
Yeah.
And also Lubrisol. Now we have to make that joke every time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you're going to do with that basically is you're going to dab a little bit of it on the stain and launder the shirt. Cold water, regular. The one thing with grease stains, when you're washing an item with a grease stain, it is always best when it comes out of the washer to just let it air dry and not put it in the dryer. And here's why. When a grease stained item comes out wet, oftentimes the dampness of the shirt obscures the lingering grease stain if it is still lingering, because the whole shirt looks dark.
Looks wet, yeah.
Mm.
Right? The whole shirt looks one shade darker, just like a grease stain looks one shade darker. And so sometimes you look at it and you go, oh, well.
No more stain.
No, it came out. And then you chuck the thing in the dryer. And I know, because this has happened to me. I'm like a walking, breathing, sassy magazine. It happened to me. Then you chuck the thing in the, even you've checked it for the stain and you're convinced it's gone, and you chuck it in the dryer, and then it comes out and the grease stain's still there and it's been through the dryer, which means like
it's set.
It's there forever.
It's there forever. It's
set. And like there are other things we can do, but really it's not great. So just generally speaking, if you're laundering a grease stained garment, just best to take it out and let it air dry. If the stain still lingers after the first wash, just retreat it and wash it again. Sometimes it just takes a second wash with a grease stain. That's kind of the thing. The other thing you can do is you can use the old Jolie Care cornstarch trick, and this also works with talcum powder. Also works with flour.
Oh.
I kind of always forget that that's one of them too. I think it works better, however, with the talcum or the cornstarch. So basically what you do is lay the garment flat, put an anthill style mound of cornstarch, and now I'm very definitely doing hand job.
That is a two-hand hand job that's going on right
there.
That's
a weird shape for
that's
a thing
big,
to be giving hand job
that's
to.
A big D too. I've got you guys, my hands are like
it's very wide.
I have tented fingers and I'm doing like a triangular hand job.
So
you're gonna make the little anthill style mound of the cornstarch. I just went and started doing it again, and just leave it there 12, 24 hours, brush it away, and it should have absorbed the grease. So those are your go-tos. Now, the preventing thing. So I had, like, my active imagination. Usually the way that I answer the questions when they're new for me, or the way that I handle questions when they're new for me, is I let my imagination kind of run wild in terms of what I can compare the problem to in terms of something else I've already tackled.
Mm.
And so, like, you know, were you guys the ones making the joke about the beautiful mind, how I always make the weird connection?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of let my beautiful mind, like, make the weird, like, chemical
with
connections.
Laundry.
And, yeah. And then I start thinking about, like, what problem this might be similar to that I could find a solution to. And I want to say I didn't love this. And so I didn't want to like put a lot of emphasis on it. But one place that my mind immediately went was the problem that nursing mothers have about breast milk leakage.
Yeah.
That is in some ways a similar problem in that you have wet spots on your nipple going through your shirt and it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, this isn't the best comparison, though. And I don't want, because I was like, you know, they make those nursing pads that you put in a bra that absorb the breast milk. And I was like, but I don't want to suggest that because, again, I think it's taking something that is an incredibly female gendered item and suggesting it as a solution for someone who is non-gender conforming. And, I didn't love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, but I'm going to find something else. So I found something else. Curad. Good old Curad, who makes the Band-Aids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They make post-surgical breast pads.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They're literally made for people who have had any kind of breast surgery, reduction, enhancement, what mastectomy. Any one of them. So it's a non-gendered item. They're not terribly expensive. They're over the counter, obviously. They're basically like stick on. They're not Band-Aids. So they're breathable. That was the other thing. I didn't want to suggest Band-Aids because you do need to let the scars breathe. And that's part of where the ointment comes in.
Yeah.
So you can get them. They come in boxes of like 10, 12, 40. I think a box of 10 cost about $6 or $7. Not super cheap, but not, you know, breaking the bank.
Yeah.
And so I thought that would be a really good suggestion to help save the shirts. And then one other thing, there wasn't a ton of information online, which I was kind of surprised at. There's a lot of information about recovering post top surgery and about, you know, the dealing with the scars and scar reduction and stuff. But there wasn't a lot about the stain part of it and the ointment part. Which I was like, oh, okay. But one thing that did sort of come up over and over again in the research, and that was a place that my mind had already gone to, and I just wanted to confirm that this was okay, was wearing undershirts, tank tops, just maybe investing in like an inexpensive pack, maybe just even of those Hanes ones.
Yeah.
Maybe buying them a little on the snug side. So that they also sort of help to protect the scars. But if you wear an undershirt underneath your regular shirt, then the undershirt can absorb the stray ointment and won't go through. And by the time you are, you know, no longer needing the ointment, you can just pitch the stained undershirts. And,
yeah.
You know, so that was
throwing out something dirty is finally a solution I can get behind. get like this many things so you can like have them on your note. Or like just get a bunch and throw them away when you're done and start, keep buying new ones.
Exactly.
It's a great solution to any problem.
Exactly. So with that said, I do want to say that, you know, this is a topic that I obviously put some research into, and just from a cleaning perspective, you know, washing an elastic garment and cleaning ointment stains off of clothes is no problem for me to handle at all. And obviously also because it was a sensitive topic, I wanted to put more research into it. But I also would love to hear from you guys if this is something that that you've experienced in your own life or with a friend or loved one, and you have information that you would like to share. I would really, really appreciate it if you did share it with me, because the more I know, the better I can be at the job. And also I can do a follow-up episode, and I think that will be nice. And I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. I have to say I'm really happy to be able to do it. I think this is like, this is one of the blessings of the job.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.